All right, welcome to Movie Dudes, episode 181. I am Jeff, joined as always by Chris.
Hey.
Have you recovered from your Halloween hangover?
Sure.
It's weird though, because it feels like Halloween's over for me, but it's like there's still a week till actual Halloween.
Yeah, I almost wish that it had come out this weekend.
Even closer? Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, because it's like, I don't know. It needed to push it one more week. I know why they did it, because like they get a bigger box office return for it, but
yeah, like I think it'll be really strong, you know, going this weekend too. I think they'll do good numbers throughout the week because of Halloween.
Yep.
I want to go see it again, and I might.
It's going to be an IMAX this weekend.
Yeah, I saw that. I doubt I'll be able to make it. Like, I don't know, like I don't know where I'm going to go, because I'm actually going to a Halloween party on Saturday. I have to go out into the Old West for very soon to play Red Dead Redemption. So I don't know, but I do want to see it again. But we do have some new movies this week. And we're going to start it off with actually a brand new Netflix original, I believe.
Or
Netflix film, at least.
Yeah.
And that is 2018's The Night Comes for Us.
Yeah, it does.
Which is an Indonesian action thriller written and directed by Timo. I don't know how to say that.
Oh, let's see. Me neither. Jajanto?
Yeah, maybe. That sounds right to me, but who knows? I literally no idea.
I probably butchered it . The guy is very upset with me, but I'll take the hit.
And so yeah, this is like a martial arts action film, but with a very high level of violence. Like, in my opinion, take like the goriest fucking movie you've seen all year, times that by like 10, and you have The Night Comes for Us.
That's fair.
It's about like a guy who like works for the triad and suddenly grows a conscience, doesn't want to kill this little girl that they've ordered, you know, decided has to be killed. And he like kills all the dudes he's with and runs away with her. And now he's got, you know, like the mafia or triad, whatever, coming after him.
Yeah.
And that's it really for the plot. I don't think there's much more to it than that.
It's kind of an excuse to throw action and gore on screen.
Yeah, and so I think for, you know, some people will not like that. Like they'll be like, "Oh, there's not much of a story here," or whatever. I remember like the very first time I saw The Raid, which this film reminds me of. I think actually it has some cast members.
It's I think it's very much like it's almost a lot of the team that made The Raid, actually.
Yeah. And you feel that. Like, it feels like The Raid. That's why I brought The Raid up. But, like, yeah, that's another movie where it's, like, it's just an excuse to string together. Like, it's just enough of a plot that you could string together these, like, action scenes.
Yeah.
And I remember, like, the first time I saw The Raid, I was, like, I thought it was really good, except I was, like, yeah, like, I think it was... I was like, oh, this movie was a little like overhyped by people because there's not much of a story there. And I can't even realize like who cares, because like that's not the point of the, like, yes, you know, it would be great if it had a great story and action, but like the point of these movies is just really awesome action and brutality. I think that's like what a lot of people would go to action movies for. I don't know when all of a sudden they had to be much more than that, but what do you think? I'm doing all talking here.
It is. So if that's all you want out of the film, it is that, right? It is straight up, full on, awesome set pieces, action, back to front. I think my problem with it is, and I mean, we haven't really gotten into what we think about it, but I do have a problem with the fact, and The Raid too, is that there's no room to breathe, right? It just moves from kind of scene to scene to scene. And while they're there's an artistry to everything that's going on. It's a little much. Like
I think you were saying to me, you said it was like exhausting.
Yeah, it's just like it was like literally tiring watching it because it's nonstop. There's no break. Like I almost would rather watch this in like little like vignettes of like the different fight scenes.
Yeah,
it's like, well, all right, that's really cool, and then come back and watch another one later.
I mean, I think at some point I accepted, like, even going back to the Raid. Like, do you like the Raid? Like, do you like, do you think that's a good movie or?
No, I mean,
yeah, okay.
It's like it's one of those things. Like, I think there's a wonderful artistry to it, and it is some of the best like action and like hand-to-hand combat and set pieces in an action movie, but it's just like it's so much.
See, I mean, I kind of felt that way the first time I saw The Raid, but like that movie's really grown on me, and that's also a movie that like has with time kind of it kind of holds up as like it's like an action classic now, you know, like people talk about The Raid as like one of these movies. And I do like it. I did like. I don't know what I have to say about The Raid 2 because I've never really watched it all in one sitting. It's like it almost made me happier for the fact that The Raid 1 there was really no story because they were trying to do some sort of story in The Raid 2 and it was nonsense. Anyways, getting back to this though,
yeah.
Like I don't know. Like yeah, if you want more out of it. That like if you want a good story out of it, like that bothers you, yeah. I don't think this has a great story. And I do like I get what you're saying that it's like relentless, you know,
and even more relentless than like The Raid because
it's even more violence.
Yeah, and it's like it's longer too. It's like 25 minutes longer than The Raid. Like this is a long movie, that is just like it is draining.
It's a long movie. I think that like might give The Raid a slight advantage for me. It's just like The Raid is short, but this while it is a long movie, I would say most of it is action. Like it's just a lot of big set pieces. Like there is like an hour in, there's like a lull, like there's like a 15-minute lull where it's like, oh yeah, we're gonna do some story shit now. But yeah, like. And yeah, going back to what you're saying about how it's like a bit much and exhausting. It's like I kind of dig these movies for that because it's just so much that's thrown at you once. One, it's just insane. Like it's impressive on a technical level.
Oh yeah.
But there's so many little details and like awesome shit actually going on in the action itself. And it's going by you so fast that there's no way you can process it all. It is exhausting.
Yeah, it's very intricate. Like they throw tons of people on screen. What I will say about it is like they in a lot of like modern action films, the problem with it is like some of the editing and they love those jump cuts. They love to like you know make you nauseous with the way they film it, like to kind of give you the feeling of being in it. One thing I really appreciate about the Night Comes for Us is that it is fast, but it is not like blazingly fast, and the editing is almost always framed perfectly for you to see what happens.
Like you know what's yeah.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
No, I was gonna say you know what's going on. It's so much.
Oh yeah, it's sensory overload.
Yeah. But that's another reason I like these movies, though, because that, to me, really ups their rewatchability because I'll be catching different stuff, the more I watch them, I'll appreciate different things about it, I'll remember different things. Like, there's parts in this that really stood out to me the first time because of how crazy over-the-top gory they were. And I'm sure there'll be different things that I catch and appreciate next time as I'm just able to focus more on things I maybe missed or whatever. Like just for me personally, like, I'm just, this is like a buffet of awesome. Like I was just loving the action that they come up with. Like there is shit in this, and I guess this will be kind of spoilery, I guess, so if this bothers you, but I'm just going to talk about some of the violent things that happen. But they kind of are the surprises in it, I think. But, like, I don't know. There's one part where, like, a guy gets shocked with a taser, and it causes him to squeeze the trigger on his gun. And, like, and his gun is, like, pointed at his, like, buddy that's, like, right next to him. And it, like, turns his head into a pulp. Did you catch that one?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just, like, I don't know, dude. I thought that was super, like, crazy and impressive. The female assassins I was telling you about, like, the one that, like, walks around with, like, the razor wire with the ball on it or whatever. I thought that was pretty neat. Like, she just, like, wrapped the thing around people and, like, rip off parts of their body, basically, with it.
Yeah.
I mean, there's one part where someone gets stabbed with a machete right through their neck, and it's like a close-up shot of it, basically. I don't know, like, there's a part where a dude gets his balls ripped off by a fucking crowbar. I don't know, like, to me, it's like, the movie scores points for all that.
For, like the absurdity nonsense. Of...
Yeah. It's just crazy.
Like, how creative can they get, and like they just keep upping the ante. Yeah.
And like this movie knows that it's like insane. Like the ending of the movie is just like, woohoo, let's like do more crazy shit. Like, I don't know. I really enjoy it. Like really, really enjoyed it. And I don't know what else I have to say about it other than I think that like, yeah, it's not like if you want like a really compelling drama,
you're not going to get that here.
It's not that. And, you know, I do think that some people, this is just not going to be their cup of tea because it's so violent. Like, you know, I get what you're saying with the, like, how like, it's a bit much, but I guess that's to me, like, I think the thing that's cool about it, like, the thing I really enjoy about it. But yeah, I don't know, any more thoughts you have on this?
No, I mean, as I said, like, I think there's an artistry to what they're doing here. It was just draining watching it. Like it was like getting to a point where I was having like trouble paying attention to it. Because some of it is because of everything that's going on screen. And, but also because it all kind of like, at some point it starts to blend together. Like, wait, did that scene end? Now we're doing something else. Like it's like really, it was a hard watch for me. But I could definitely – like, I appreciate what they're going for there. It's just much like The Raid, not necessarily my cup of tea.
Your description there at the end, like, that kind of describes me. Because, like, after I watched this, I was like, man, I want more of something like that. So I popped in The Raid 2, and I was just like, I can't with this. And like, I used to get lost in the plot of whatever the hell they're trying to do in that. Oh, and the other thing is, like, coming off of The Night Comes for Us, like, The Raid come, like, at least The Raid 2 kind of came off as tame comparatively. Like, I was like, yeah, this is still a pretty, like, hardcore action movie, but it's no Night Comes for Us. Like,
right.
So that, I mean, that's, I think, major props to The Night Comes for Us, but I would even have to say that. But yeah, I mean, that's about it. Like, you're going to see some crazy ass shit. It's just basically 2 hours of that. Might be a bit much for some people. I loved it. So, yeah. I don't know. How about you, Chris? What's your rating?
I'm gonna go right down the middle. I think it's a 3 for me.
Okay.
But for the reasons I stated.
All right. Yeah, I get it. For me, this is kind of a masterpiece. I kind of want to own this. I'm like, hopefully, like, put it on 4K or something. I loved it. I'm giving it 5 stars. It's
nice.
A fucking blast. If you're into, like you know, like if you like The Raid, you're gonna fucking love this. Although I will, like, just the warning: this is even more violent than The Raid. So that's what that comes for us. I saw like one other movie this week, but actually, I'm really curious to hear. There's a movie I've been pushing you to watch
since
earlier this year. That was Better Watch Out, a 2017 horror film that I said would have been my movie of the year.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it. Chris, you finally caught up with it on Shudder, right?
I did. It's on Shudder, and I did not like this movie at all. which was, like, I was, you know, critically, I think Rotten Tomatoes has it at an 87, which is very strong.
So you're in the minority here.
On the critical side, on the audience side, like they are a little more mixed on it. Yeah, IMDb has it at a 6.5, and Rotten Tomatoes has the audience score at like a 66. I don't know.
All right, yeah, so you and I differ hugely on this. I'm very interested. Yeah. I mean, we should refresh people on what this is. I kind of talked around it when we reviewed it last year.
I think we need to blow it out here.
I told you to watch this 6 months ago at least. I talked around what it is. Now I'm going to say what it is. This is a movie that starts off as a home invasion movie that feels almost like a holiday movie from the 80s with kids.
Yeah,
it takes a very dark turn.
It almost feels like maybe like Halloween meets Home Alone.
Yeah, I mean, starting off. Yes.
Yeah, like, well, that, yes. That makes that, you, that's how
what
it.
The trailer tells you, that's what you feel like it is for the first 20 minutes. Like, that's like, why I was very careful
exactly.
to talk around what it is.
Because there is a twist. And when you talked about it, you mentioned the twist. It goes some really dark places afterwards.
Yeah.
And I think it stops
it's more
being
like a torture
fun.
Movie. Think it's still very, very fun. Like it's I don't know about very, very fun. Yeah, it becomes like very serious. Like it's scary. Like I think actually scary. I think that kid is like he terrifies me. Like I'm just like, ugh.
Yeah. So what it is that I mean we're still talking around it a little bit here.
Say what
the,
it is.
So the babysitter and her like ward, her this little 12-year-old kiddo that she is babysitting, he is the setup for all of this. He has set up the home invasion, and it goes even deeper than that to the point where he is coercing her boyfriend and her ex over to the house with the intent purpose of killing them.
And he's like orchestrating this kind of mass murder while his parents are going out on this party. So it has like that Home Alone vibe too, where it's like this kid's at home alone having fun, like bad shit, but mischievous stuff, like murdering his friends.
Right.
It's weird. Like I can see your like there's a little bit of a clashing tones a little bit.
Very clashing tones, because after he goes through all of this and they play off, so he murders three people and he thinks he's murdered a fourth, and he goes through all this and they like it's almost like hijinks, like he's going through cleaning up the house and like
I love that part
but it's like set up, it's like haha, this is funny, isn't it? And then he's like on the roof as his parents are coming home and it's played for laughs, and it's like this is sick, like this is fucking wrong on every level, this kid's fucked up. And like the bigger problem with it is I think it glorifies male entitlement and like rape fantasy, and like it's like this kid had like somebody, the whoever wrote this, Zach Kahn, I think that when he was a kid he fell in love with his babysitter and fucking wanted to murder her because she never gave him the time of day, and this is his like his revenge fantasy to do that.
I think that, well, I thought the director wrote it. Am I wrong on that?
So IMDb has it listed as Zach Kahn and Chris Peckover.
Okay.
Zach Kahn.
So they co-wrote it.
Yeah, Chris Peckover is the director. Kahn is the one who came up with the story, and then Peckover co-writes it with him. And actually, looking at the guy who directed it, totally getting a weird vibe from it.
I talked to
actually from both of them. You talked to him about it?
I actually talked to the director about that part, like that angle, because it wasn't lost on me. And I think I mentioned it to you, but I don't think it's like celebrating it at all. Oh. I think it's trying to show, like, I think the really like the interesting thing that it's trying to show is his friend, who would normally be a normal kid, like, basically.
Right.
Because of the toxic masculinity that he hangs around, he goes along with it. Because he's not the alpha male out of the group, and he just kind of is like, this kid infects the people around him, like the kids who hang out with him. Like that part about it. And then the sense of him, like the white privilege aspect too, with him knowing that he could get away with it. Like he's supremely confident that he's never going to be caught. Like that's like another note that they tried to put in there about the fact that because he's so white and entitled, he thinks he's never going to have to pay for what he did.
And which is
why I love the ending.
Well, so are you referring to the ending where she sticks up the middle finger and like?
I think it's like one of the best endings ever.
But like, I think if you follow in about maybe a minute into the credits,
there's a little stinger joke. Yeah,
yeah, it's sick and it's wrong, and like I think personally I would have been all right with like the middle finger. Like I'm kind of not okay with the way they portray her. Like at the end she just like gives up. It's like, you were gonna kill me all the time, and like there's no fight. Like he just stabs her in the fucking throat.
Well, doesn't he have her like tied down or something?
Yeah, but like she resigns herself to the fact that like it's over, and like you were gonna, like this is how it was gonna end the entire time. But
that also shocked me. Because I did not expect her to die, or you know, because she doesn't die, but
they pull it back at the end, and then I'm like, all right, like they redeem themselves a little bit. This kid is gonna get his comeuppance, but then
and
like
she just gives him that. Like if that was the final shot, and they just left it at that,
I
don't know. I don't think the joke was necessary because it's
just like,
the best. Her going fuck you.
I think the joke ruins it because it's like this kid's still gonna get away with it.
I think at some point.
You would hope that, but like the whole film is so cynical and nihilistic that
I know.
That like he is going to get away with it, and that's fucked up. Like that like, but and that's why I said like it celebrates it, because like I come out of this going, all right, like at the end, like he's she gives him the middle finger, and it's like, yeah, you know what, your mama's little boy is going to get fucked over, but at like then they add that at the end, and it like I went from this being a 3 to like that bit like throwing it completely off for me. I'm like, fuck this. I didn't like it to begin with, but I'm like, all right, there's a craft here, and maybe
and then, you know, there was something to that ending. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, and then like
she at least gets her comeuppance on him, and you know, he's fucked. He like the shot of his face, like where he's like, oh God.
Right. Like that actually worked. It's like, no, you fucked up, little man. Like you thought you had it all. You thought you knew it all. And then they tie it back with like, we need to go visit her in the hospital. I feel bad for her. Like I like whatever it was.
She's like saying something before fucking anything. I took it as like, yeah, maybe like it could happen the way you say, but I just took it as, oh, you know, this little shit's gonna still try to fucking do something, but he's still probably fucked. I don't know. I think it would have been better. I would have been stronger if it just ended with her giving the middle finger and then you just see his face and that's it. I know you didn't like it, but yeah, I think you have to admit that Levi Miller as this kid is like,
oh, he gives a really strong performance.
A compelling villain. Like, it's
yeah,
terrifying.
Like he's like, it's, he is fucked. Like, I mean, like, there's
like
no
a
other
sociopath,
way.
Like, real.
Yeah, like it's like he legitimately gives a great performance as like the villain in this, and like he's so unassuming, in his like portrayal.
A part of that probably helps is because he's so young. You know, he's probably like 15 when he shot this or something. You know,
yeah.
Like that he could just be natural like that. Like, and but like, dude, I just. Between his performance, her giving him the little finger, you know, the kind of surprise turn it took, it's gleeful. Like the things, I love that you don't like it because it's like too disturbing. I'm like, yes.
Well, it's like it's
and it's cynical and it's nasty.
Yeah, and it's like I have no problem watching films that are cynical and nihilistic, and it's like, but the way that it tries to like it basically paints itself as fucking Home Alone, even throughout like him killing,
Yeah, like the
like
one murder that's
hijinks. It's
really
like,
disturbing.
yeah, he's
It,
like,
like the mur that
ha
one
ha, like.
murder, that one murder. It's so weird because there's part of me that's like doesn't believe that it would work that way. Still, like, then again, kind of pain is pretty heavy.
Yeah.
But again, but it's like splat. Ha ha!
Right.
He's just like so amused by it, and it's
It's
this
like I,
horrifying, gruesome death.
it's and it's like played for like I don't know, maybe just the way it's kind of it just felt to me like it was played for like a joke, like haha, like look what we did. Like isn't that nuts? Like we killed him with the fucking paint can and there's
Yeah,
paint
but
everywhere.
to
Like
me, it's disturbing because that's how it is to him, and everyone else is like, "What the fuck?" Or like,
yeah,
beyond disturbed or whatever.
maybe it's more that like he is the main character here,
Kind of, yeah.
and it follows his gleeful jaunt through it, and it's
But
not
he
done
gets
from
his
the
comeuppance, kind of. I guess you could argue he doesn't.
no, he does like he like we don't know where it ends up. Like at the end of the day though, like he has set it up, like he lays down and takes a fucking sleeping pill. Like his mom's in there hugging him at the end, and it's like he
Little
got everything he
Ferris
fucking
Bueller
wanted.
moment, like him, that whole part where he's like rearranging everything, and like just in time he fixes the thing on the roof and he runs in the bed. It's totally the end of Ferris Bueller, you
Oh
know.
yeah, and it's
It's so weird
it's
the
done
movies
like
that this
this.
movie references.
It's done like in this fun like kind of way, and it's like,
I
and
love it so off.
if you weren't like. Dude, this guy just killed four people and he's like 12 years old and he just killed four people and his parents are driving in the house now. Like maybe then like it's something different, but it's like so, I don't know. Like and it's even listed as like IMDb even listed as a comedy.
I mean, it has comedic elements, but it is a very dark movie.
Yeah. I don't know. Like I don't like the weird tone that it had. Like it's like let's explore like this like little privileged white kid and how he's gonna get away with, you know, all of this. And
I think
basically
it's
does.
timely subject matter, man.
Sure. But I also think like to me at least, I know you were like, oh well, in the end he gets it. Like and maybe that's the whole point here is like
Yeah,
they don't
if you
get
looked
it,
at what's been going on
but
in
you know what? Fuck that. Like that's no. This kid, like the entire time I'm waiting for him to get it. Like and not like, oh, his parents are gonna come home and like he's gonna go to jail. No, I wanted someone to
got
fucking
his
slice
head
this
cut off.
motherfucker off. Like I wanted them to chop his fingers off and like make him like
Really turn the tables, yeah.
yeah, like really go the other way with it, 'cause fuck that kid. And
That could have been fun too.
yeah, I no, I did like
So what you said you're going to on it?
yeah.
I stand by my five.
That's fine. It's like I
It's
under
funny. It's just, and you know, if you're listening to us talk about this, I think you'll know whether you want to check it out or not. But like, yeah, I remember when I first saw it and I loved it. I was a little worried that other people wouldn't react the same way as me because it is so dark and it is such a hard turn from what it's marketed as and what it starts out as. And it's also kind of in that torture porn category a little bit that, you know, some people don't like, you know. So for all
still
those reasons, I was like worried, but everyone I recommended it to loved it. Like Brian loved it, Javi loved it. You know, everyone I was like into horror, I was like, check it out, loved it. So I became more confident as time passed. But now you got me back where I'm like, I love it.
I'm currently looking at reviews on IMDb and I mean they're all over the place like all over the
Yeah.
place. Like there's people that like love it, and actually there doesn't seem to be any middle ground on it. It's like you either really fucking love it
Love it or really hate it,
or
yeah.
you don't.
I could see that. I could totally see that
It's
for this
like
movie. I mean, this is not an easy one.
a turd in your Christmas stocking. I mean, some people are like, oh, like I didn't like the twist, like just fine. Like I mean, it does sell it as like this kind of fun Home Alone
I mean,
murder
I,
thing.
yeah.
But how do you sell like fucking
I mean,
twisted motherfuckers?
you could, but I think that ruins the movie a little bit. I think part of the fun is the surprise. I think part of it is the turn where you realize that this kid that seems like super wholesome,
Yeah.
all of a sudden he's like fucking, he's like Satan incarnate or some shit. I don't know. But, well, I'm glad you finally checked it out. I'm sorry you didn't like it, but.
It's not everything can be a winner for everyone.
Yeah,
so.
True. Speaking of which,
do you got
to
one?
Give away,
do you have
not
one
to
that's
give
not
away,
a winner?
not to give away how I feel about it too much, but
Ooh.
I just watched this new film, Summer of '84.
Okay.
Which it's from the team that made Turbo Kid, which I think they're called
we both
like.
liked.
Yeah, they're called like Roadkill Superstar. It's like three directors with like these weird names. Anouk Wiesel, Francois Simard, Johan Carl Wiesel. Anyways, they go by Roadkill Superstar because their names are confusing. Hard to remember. Yeah, they made Turbo Kid and they made this. And this movie is about a kid who lives in a suburb. Hangs out with his friends. They ride on bikes. Does it sound familiar?
So are we talking It or are we talking Stranger Things? Which one?
Stranger
are you?
Things, kind of.
Okay.
I mean, it has a strong. I mean, I guess It had a Stranger Things vibe too. I mean, it's kind of all intertwined at this point. But
right.
You know, it feels in that vein. It's not like for one, like if you saw Turbo Kid, you might be expecting a certain thing from these people, and this is not. Like, it's a movie set in the 80s, and so it has 80s-sounding music the way Stranger Things does.
Right.
But it is not, like, this over-the-top, like, explosion of creativity that Turbo Kid was. This is kind of like Stranger Things, except instead of something supernatural, these kids think that their neighbor next door might be a serial killer. Like, the main kid, he enlists his friends into like monitoring his neighbor who was a cop who he also thinks is like the serial killer who's like abducting 12 to 16 year old boys and murdering them.
Oh,
so
okay.
I don't know. I think it's a cool premise, like for sure. Like it's I get it takes something like Stranger Things and the whole 80s vibe. I love that, like young kids in the 80s like hanging out riding around on bikes bullshit, right?
It's like fucking Goonies.
Spielberg. Yeah. And, you know, mixes it with something in, more grounded in reality. Like, this guy might be a serial killer. I kind of dig that. You know, and it gets a lot of that stuff right. The feel of the kids hanging out. The 80s synth score. Like, little touches, little nods to the 80s. It's not a bad movie. Like, I don't know why I came off saying like, oh, it's you know, not that great, but it just didn't blow me away as much as like people were kind of selling it to be. Like, it was just kind of
okay.
Like, it's an awesome premise, and it kind of goes along the path that you might expect, but without any super clever moments or any big surprises. Like, it kind of goes where you expect it to go all along and, like, executes everything fairly well. But that's about it. You know, like, just did not blow me away. And the other thing, like I said, like, you know, you see Turbo Kid, you just think, like, it's going to be creative and over top and violent. It's like, this movie is a surprisingly restrained movie compared to Turbo Kid. And also, like, a very slow burn.
Oh,
like,
okay.
It does not like it's most of the movie is the kids like following this guy around, and you don't know whether he's like actually the serial killer or not. So it's like more of like a mystery. So it's slow. Like, there's not a lot of kills, not a lot of craziness, and then also once you find out what's going on, like there's no like I don't feel like it's clever enough, and there's no like not enough twist to it. And the payoff to that is just like, I just feel like a lot of things could have been done better, but it's also, this movie does coast along on the strength of its premise. You know, hey, we're gonna have, you know, the Stranger Things type tale, except this time they think that their neighbor's a serial killer. Like, it's a strong enough premise that and you know these guys know how to do like an 80s synth score and all that shit.
Right.
So it kind of coasts to the finish line for me. Like, it's worth checking out for sure.
All right.
If you got Shudder, they just put it up, and so you got it on there for free. It's worth a rental. But I wouldn't say it's like a blind buy or anything. See how you feel about it first. You give it a 3.
All right. I added it to my my Shudder favorites list. They have the worst. They have the worst. Like, yeah. Way to set up your list, but they are making like Turbo Kid 2, though.
That's cool. I'm down. I mean, I think Turbo Kid is a better film. Like, this is more like a standard actual real film, but I think Turbo Kid is just more interesting because, like, it's just like, wow, like, you're like catching that trauma vibe almost,
right?
Of the late 80s and just like it bonkers, like completely bonkers. And then this is just like really slow burn about maybe my neighbor's a serial killer and also let's feel like E.T. and Stranger Things and all that. It's definitely not a bad thing. It's in my wheelhouse for sure. It's just like I was like hoping to be more blown away by it. As it is, it's fine. I'll be happy to see Turbo Kid 2.
Yeah.
So yeah, I that's all I really have for this week. I mean, there's stuff like believe you me, while we've been doing this Halloween stuff for like the last month and a half, you and I have both seen a ton of shit that we have not talked about. Like,
yeah.
On top of everything, I'm doing a horror movie a day. I know you've been doing it since the beginning of October.
Yeah.
Me, like a crazy person, I've been doing it since, like, September.
Yeah.
But the funny thing is, like, there's times where I just, like, I watch zero horror movies for, like, 3 days. But then I'll watch, like, two or three to catch up. So I've been trying to keep up. But, yeah, so I've seen a ton of movies otherwise. Yeah, I don't know how anything else you really wanted to touch on. Like, I know you've seen a ton too. Like, you saw the whole Wishmaster series.
Yeah, don't watch them. They're bad. They're bad, bad movies. Yeah, but that get progressively worse too.
Well,
let's see. So there's Wishmaster, which was I didn't realize that 2, 3, and 4. Were direct to video. Like, I don't know. Wishmaster is always like, you know, always heard about it, and you know, it's never been like a tier, you know, franchise, but like,
no.
I've heard of it. It's like,
yeah,
you know, I assume that they had a couple releases in the theater.
That's like even Leprechaun,
right?
Leprechaun 2 had a theatrical release. Remember that shit?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy to think about.
So it's like looking at it other way, I'm kind of surprised. You know, Wishmaster 1 is not good, but it's watchable. Wishmaster 2 is basically a more sanitized version of that because it was actually made for TV and not like DVD. So there's very minimal cursing. There's absolutely zero nudity, which is all thrown out the window with 3. 3 and 4 were filmed back to back by this director named Chris Angel, not the magician. which I was like, that's interesting that the magician did. And then I looked it up, and it is not the same guy. He spells his name differently.
Oh, I was gonna say because Chris Angel spells his name weird.
Yeah, no, this is like regular, regular Chris, like how I spell my name. And I was like, oh, that's cool. And then I was like, oh, Chris Angel, the magician, is Criss.
Yeah.
And it would have maybe been more interesting if he had directed it, but 3 is absolute garbage. Like, it's one of the only 1-star films I've watched this month. And then 4 is a little better. It actually has the best concept out of all of them, but it's still, these are bad, bad, bad movies. Don't watch them.
The Horror Movie Podcast, that's like the name of the podcast I listen to. They were doing the Puppet Master movies, talk about like C-tier shit.
Yeah.
Have you ever watched all those? Or
Not all. I've seen a bunch of them,
yeah,
but I've not ever watched all of them. I am going to watch
the new one,
the
me
new
too.
one, The
Yeah,
Littlest Reich.
I'm tempted to like kind of do a series watch of that at some point, just because I don't know how I feel about it. Like, I remember I hated the first one. I thought it was really slow and boring and sucked. But I remember I think I saw part three and I was like, it was kind of cool for like a low budget doll movie, you know?
Yeah, and the dolls start to, like, over time, they start to gain, like, personality, and
Starts to become involved with like Nazi Germany and shit too, doesn't it? Like,
yeah,
yeah.
it's
Well,
like
it's like the new
a
one's the Littlest Reich.
it, but I think like the whole mythology, like, ties
It's
back
tied to it,
to
yeah. Experiments and shit.
occult Nazism, and I don't know, like, there's things about it that I think are cool. Like, I do like stop motion.
Yeah, like I dig the design of the dolls for sure. Like the one guy's got the drill on his head and shit, and the one dude's got the scary mask face and
Then, I mean,
yeah,
I've watched way worse. Like,
I don't know.
I know that. So, yeah, I'm gonna watch The Littlest Reich, though. We'll see how that turns out.
All right, yeah.
There is a it's like Shudder. I'm drawing a blank on the name of the service, though. It's another, like, horror streaming service,
Oh, really?
and they own the rights to Puppet Master. So they have, like, the entire series on there.
Oh, it might be the Full Moon,
I think that's it. Yeah.
because
That
yeah,
sounds accurate.
that's like that whole company, like they do all like Castle Freak and I think they did like Reanimator and if I'm remembering correctly, like they had their whole but yeah, like yeah, they have like their own streaming service, which is crazy. They've always been like this super independent, you know, studio that somehow gets by on like the little horror movies that they make.
I am not that interested in watching all the Puppet Master movies
Yeah.
again to pay for this subscription, but
Oh
the fact
yeah,
that it's
because
out
yeah,
there
it'd be
is. But
Well,
yeah.
I will eventually see that one. I don't know what I'll have for next week, honestly. Yeah, no idea.
I currently have a reservation in to go see Hunter Killer, but that movie is
What's like
getting,
the Gerard Butler movie?
yeah, it's
Yeah.
like what kind of looked like Hunt for Red October or Crimson Tide type thing, like the submarine action
Yeah.
thriller, but it's getting brutalized in the reviews, so I may not may just come home and play Red Dead instead.
I'm thinking there's gonna be some Red Dead going on, but you know, dude, the way these like streaming services are going right now, I'm sure we're gonna have shit. Like Netflix has been going crazy. Shudder's been really solid for like the last month or two, so. We'll have something, I'm sure. I've had Ocean's 8 here for since October 3rd, it shows me on disc.
Maybe get to that at some point.
You liked it, right?
I did. Like, I mean,
Yeah.
I think I gave it a 3, but yeah, it was like, it's a decent little heist movie.
At the top of my list, like my disc queue from Netflix after that is Gotti.
Which
Supposed to be the actual worst movie of the
like
year.
bad, right? Like, that was
Yeah, it's
supposed to be a
supposed to
bad
be
movie.
it's made by MoviePass.
Oh, well,
And
that
it just
explains
looks
a
terrible.
lot.
Like supposedly like makes Gotti out to be like this hero. Like you know, like in The Sopranos, Tony was never portrayed as a hero. Like he is at best a complicated figure, right? They didn't say he was a good guy. Like that's the way Gotti like supposedly is like yeah, he just got fucked over by the justice system. It's like, no, dude, that guy like sawed people in half with chainsaws and shit. He didn't get fucked over by anybody, you know. Anyways, I kind of like I'm excited to see that because I like just for how stupid it supposedly is, but we'll see if I get there. I should probably watch Ocean's 8 though and get my queue
Yeah,
going again.
get your
Yeah.
next
Yeah.
disc movie.
But I've you know, I have a feeling it's gonna be a lot of Red Dead going on, so we'll see. Red Dead and a lot of Dark Souls. So, all right. We'll have something.
Right.
Come back. We promise.
Movie
Movie
dudes.
dudes. Do 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 do.